If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be very... I don't think it's going to be a long one today. If you've got your Bibles, if you can, turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And the whole chapter documents a whole historic journey that took place. But today, as we just bounce back on some of those events, I just want to highlight one verse. And I'll be going in and out. So let me just read from verse 13. That's Exodus chapter 14. And I'll read verse 13. And it says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today.'" Words of faith, aren't they? Not yet happened, but he's saying, you will see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish. When? Today. So he says to the people, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more." The Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more. Verse 14, "And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." What a statement. "And the Lord shall fight for you." Let's personalize it here. "And the Lord shall fight for Lorna. And the Lord will fight for Crystal." Oh yeah, "and the Lord will fight for Shirley. And the Lord will put his boxing gloves on and fight for Simone." Oh yeah. What a verse. "And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." In other words, you will be at peace. "And the Lord said to Moses..." Now listen to this. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me?'" "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" And that is what I want you to hold on to, that particular sentence. "Tell my people to move forward." Amen. Instructions came from Moses, telling the people to see what God's going to do. But then instructions came from God. "Don't cry anymore to me now. You've said what you need to say. But you go tell my people to move forward." Amen. What did he say? Move forward. Amen. What is he saying to his church? That we must move forward. Challenges will always come as long as there's life. We will always have challenges. Always will. As long as you're living, you will have a challenge or two. But God's word to us is, in amongst the challenges, in amongst the trials, in amongst everything, God wants us to move forward. And that's a real good word for you and for me today. I have never seen so much turmoil, with things breaking down and organizations failing and distrust. But God's word says that my people must move forward. Many years ago, my family, we went to Wales and we spent, I think it was probably 10 days in Wales. And we drove on one particular day through a place, I think it's called Deal. And we stopped in Deal and we noticed that there was a circus on the left-hand side. And outside of the circus, there were animals. The lions were in cages, so we couldn't see them. But the elephants, I think there was probably about four of them, were right by the roadside. As close as Richard is to me, that's how close the elephants were. There was something about the elephant that drew me to go closer. And I looked at this elephant, and I saw nothing but sadness in his eyes. And the sadness was in every elephant's eye. Now, we humans, when we're standing up, we sometimes go rock from one leg to a leg like that, don't we? Yeah? This elephant was rocking, not in a forward motion, but in a sideward motion. And his trunk was just going like this. And you could see that the elephant was distressed. It was unhappy. It was bound. There was no element of freedom for that elephant or those elephants. And I thought it was just me that recognized the immense sadness in the eyes of that elephant. Then one by one I heard the kids just saying, "Wow, that elephant, those elephants really look sad." It was heartbreaking. The expression of emotion was that of a human, or even more. It was just, the Bible says that the eyes are the seat of the soul. And you can see what is happening by looking in someone's eyes. And I tell you, I could see what was happening in that elephant. It was depressed. It was unhappy. It was unhealthy. Just looking and rocking. But you know what the sad thing was? When we look down on the feet, or in this occasion, the foot of the elephant, it was bound by a chain. But the chain that bound it was almost the thickness of a piece of string. And so here was this mature elephant, bound, unhappy, cannot move, but doesn't know that the thing that binds it, it now has the strength to break it. It's been conditioned. Conditioned, what do you mean? How can you condition an elephant? Well, from when the elephant is small, it's bound, and it's bound with a strong chain. Each time you pull on the chain, it's just like when you have a goat or a pig and you tie it. When they yank or they pull on the string, what it does, it cuts into the skin. And the more you try to escape, it's the more it digs deeper into that cut. So the elephant learns after a while, if you tug, I'm going to feel pain. If I tug, I'm going to be uncomfortable. And so over a period of time, the elephant ceases to tug. But what it doesn't realize is that it's growing in strength. And now its strength is far superior than this chain, which I call a cord, which is holding it. And so when it walks and it feels the little tug, It stops because it doesn't want to experience pain. And I say, how sad it is that that elephant with one kick could be free. But because it's conditioned, it doesn't know. And it remains bound. And I say that to say this. Sometimes when we face situations and they hit back at us and it hurts, we think, oh, don't want to go there again. Or I try once more, and we do it and it hurts. And then we stop and we sometimes accept our situations. We accept the challenges rather than challenging them because of the pain of the past. And so I have good news for you this morning, that sometimes even though we're chained to things that impacted us in the past, we have the strength and the potential and the ability that comes from God to break free. Amen? Amen. We can break free and move forward. And that's what God's word is saying to us today. It's time for the church, for Israel, to move forward. You have the capability. You have the gifting. You have the resource to move forward. Don't be bound by a chain that wants to keep you in your current location. What is this chain? What can this chain be? This chain can be anything. I remember speaking to a woman some years ago who was married, and she went through a divorce. And her husband went abroad, and the kids wanted to see their father, so the husband came back. And when, this was 25, 26 years later, when the husband came back, the mother went into uproar, meltdown. And she was as raged that day as she was 25, 26 years ago. Do you know why? Because she was bound by that chain of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of hurt, of pain. And it doesn't necessarily mean that she was in the wrong, but there comes a point where you need to break that chain and let go and be free. And it was evident that she had not moved on. He did. He reached out. He tried to be civil. But she was as bitter as the day that the divorce happened. Bound by the chain. A chain of bitterness. A chain of unforgiveness. A chain of pain. Linked to an emotion that she wasn't prepared to work on. And I want to say to you, church, that whatever we go through, we must work on. Not necessarily for our benefit, but for the kingdom's benefit. And for what God wants to do in your life. For what God wants to do in your heart. For what God wants to do in your family. If we are in unforgiveness, we are bound by a chain. We are imprisoned by our unforgiveness. Two things happen when we don't forgive. Number one, we don't release the person who offended us. And even though you don't say anything, you're still entrapping them. Number two, you imprison yourself. Because when you don't release them, then you become attached to them. And you can't break free until you release. Amen? And so forgiveness is something that catapults you forward. Catapults you out of and releases you. Amen? Bitterness is the same thing. Unforgiveness. God wants us to be free. God is in the business of breaking chains. And that's why that songwriter said he could break every chain. Break every chain. Yeah, my God is able to break every chain. He can break your chain. He can break it no matter how tight it might be, how difficult it might be, how painful it was. God can break the chain. Why? Because God wants us as a people, as a church, to move forward. Do you want to move forward? I certainly do. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to move forward, closer to Him, pressing, as Paul says, I press towards the mark of the goal of the higher calling of God. I want to be pressing forward, getting closer to the goal where God has set for me to fulfill. I want to be fulfilled. Being fulfilled is a nice feeling. Can anyone identify with that? It's a nice feeling when you do something and you do a project or you cook a meal and everyone comes and eats that meal and licks their finger and says, whoa, that was good. You feel fulfilled. You feel pleased. People appreciate your hard labor. I want to be fulfilled in the spiritual thing, like my spiritual life. I want to be fulfilled. I want to be able to reach the plateau that God, or the point where God has ordained me to reach. I want to reach the people that God has ordained me to reach. Did you know that there are people around you that only you can reach? If I was to try and reach them, my style, my personality would probably push them away. But there's something about you that can reach a certain group of people that I can't reach. That's why we're all unique. Amen? Yeah. And God has embedded strength and gifts and talents within us to reach people. And that's what it's all about. Moving forward in Christ. Moving forward in ourselves. Moving forward in our development. Reaching out and touching others. We don't want to be limited. But our God is an awesome God, full of power. Full of power and might and impossibilities. Does anyone here know what a moped is? See your hands if you know what a moped is. Okay, I see a few hands. All right, okay. Anyone here knows the average speed of a moped? Just shout it out. What was that? 14? 40. 40. All right, it's climbing. A moped generally can go 30 miles an hour. Okay? You do have different types, but generally speaking, 30 miles an hour. Can I see the hands of anyone who has ridden a moped? Okay, I see a few hands. Okay. All right. And you know when you're on the straight and you're on a moped and when you're really exaggerating, this thing is going, yee! And everyone's just flying past you and it's going, yee! And it can't go any faster and you kind of think, oh my gosh, this doesn't feel really good. But did you know that the moped, the average 30 mile an hour moped, you do have some that go to 50, and then some for 90, just depending. The average moped, 30, 50 mile an hour moped, did you know that it can go 100 miles an hour? Many of us don't know. And the reason why it stays at 30 or 50 is because what they've done, they've put a limiter on that moped. Because it's designed for folk that are learning to ride and it shouldn't exceed that speed limit. And so, not just on a moped, on lots of bikes, there is what you call a limiter. Now, some mechanics and some clever clocks have realized that if you take the limiter off, then your moped is as fast as a Suzuki. And so they do that, but it's illegal. But there is a limiter on most bikes. And there are also limiters on some cars. Your car can probably go much faster than what you think. But for safety reasons, and because they know you've got a heavy foot, they've limited it. Yeah. In our lives, God has made us to go 1,000 miles an hour. But life and people and things want to put limiters on you. Want to put you in a cage. You're a woman, so you can't do this. Oh, you're black, so you can't do this. Oh, you're in your teens, so you can't do this. Oh, you shouldn't be able to do this yet. You haven't got the maturity. They want to put limiters on you. And they limit you by your age, by what they see, sometimes by how you speak. But the beautiful thing is that God puts no limit on you. And when we take off the limiters and we break the chain, we are free to operate how God created us to operate. Do not let the words of people be limiters in your life. You will never come to anything. Oh no, you're too fat. Oh no, you're too short. Oh no, you're too tall. Oh no, I don't, where you come from? You will never mount to anything. Never let people put limits and restrictions on your life. But see yourself how God sees you. God says, I've made you. You are wonderfully and beautifully made in His image. And He says that nothing is impossible. And what I want you to do with the impossibilities that you have is go forward. Amen. Go forward. Go forward. Tell yourself you can do it. Tell yourself that my God can help me. There is nothing that's too hard for Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. Amen? And the reason why I want us to be... Well, I know some of us, we're doing this already. But I want to reinforce it this morning because something is coming upon the church. Something is coming upon the church. And if we have a limited mindset, if we are chained, we're not going to have the freedom to run with it when He comes. When the church begins to grow and God sends people our way, which is going to happen, and you end up being a head of ministry, and you've got 200, 300 people that you're responsible for, you're going to need to be able to move quickly and reach out and keep with it and look after and plan ahead. Amen? So we can't afford to be limited. We've got to operate in freedom. And that's why Galatians 5 says, stand fast therefore in the freedom where God has made us free. In the liberty where God has made us free. Because we need to be free to operate effectively in the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Do not let anything chain you down. Do not let anything stop you. But move in freedom. Move in faith. Move in God's grace. Move, move, move. Don't stand still. When we stand still, we become a target. When we stand still, we become stagnant. When we stand still, we go nowhere. We become wheelbarrows, don't we? Did you know that the wheelbarrow has a capacity to take a lot? But unless anyone pushes it, it goes nowhere. That's a thought for you, isn't it? A wheelbarrow will sit unless someone pushes it, even though it has the capacity. Let's not be wheelbarrows. But let's be motor rollers. We got motors. We can move and move and move and move and keep moving. And moving with the times and moving with God's leading and moving in the anointing. Because God wants His church to move forward. Amen. We are a people that are going to move forward. Living waters cannot be stagnant. The reason why it's living waters is because it's moving. And so there's life in the water because it's moving. So let's keep moving in our faith. Let's keep moving in our growth. Let's keep moving in reaching out. Let's keep moving in our love. Let's keep moving in our compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. Let's be a people that are moved in compassion for each other and for ministry. Amen? Amen. Amen. Church, let's move forward. in Christ. Did you know that Moses had a bunch of people that saw miracles? Did you know the verse that we just read? They had just crossed through the Red Sea. Did you know that they had the Egyptians behind them and they feared and they cried out to God saying, what are we going to do? The Egyptians are coming. The sea is there. The mountain is there. Where are we going to go? We're going to be killed. Did you know that they had just broken through with the miracle? They were on the other side. Yeah. They were on the other side. But yet they were very quick to fall back into old habits, almost like putting the chain back on of complaint. And in those two verses, I think verse 11 and 12, they complained. They just saw God working. God just delivered them from the Egyptians. God delivered them. And what was the problem now? Number one, you've taken us out into the wilderness and we don't have any water. But don't they remember that God had provided water for them before they crossed over? God had provided water, but yet they are complaining again. God didn't provide water. And you've taken us out of the land of Egypt, and it was better for us to be there because we were safe. So, why were you safe? Because now we don't have nowhere to bury the dead. So you want to remain in captivity so you can bury your dead in Egypt, and you're not from Egypt? They were complaining that they don't have any graves. Back in those days, you would prepare a sepulchre. Families will have family sepulchres, dig outs that you would bury, just like what Jesus got buried in. That was the tradition. And so now they are where they are. They didn't have any, but they complained about it. Their life just got spared, but yet they're complaining about graves. Can you see the logic? Life just got saved, but you complain that there's no grave. There's no water, but God had provided water before, so he will do it again. And now the third complaint was that we would have been better off staying in Egypt, mate. Better off staying in Egypt. So you're saying that rather than have freedom, you would prefer to be a slave? That was the complaint. The mindset hadn't changed. Sometimes complaining can be a habit. It can be a habit. And I have a confession for you. I have fallen into that habit sometimes. And I honestly have to sometimes catch myself and think, you said that just a while ago, you're saying it again. Do not let it be a habit. It's not good. Yeah, you might not feel right about it, but control it, manage it, don't absorb it. Because when it becomes a complaint, it becomes a stronghold, and then it becomes a chain. Then you're chained to the bondage of complaint. I do know people that just complain. Every day you see them, there is something. They've got to be something to complain about. And I am not joking. There's got to be something. But we don't want that mentality. Reflect and examine ourselves and break the chain of complaint. Don't be like the Israelites. Miracle after miracle, but yet complaint after complaint. Complaint after complaint. Complaint after complaint. Let's allow God to break that chain, to break that limiter from off our lives, so we can all move forward together. Amen? It's a dirty habit, complaining. It is. But the unfortunate thing is that sometimes you get caught in it. Let me speak more personally. Sometimes I get caught in it. And I catch myself and I think, Trevor, that's not right. What are you complaining about? Look what God done and you complain about that. And sometimes it takes a while for me to see and say, I'm guilty, I should know. And I just want us to be honest. And if we do, just check ourselves and say, guess what? Is this helping me? Because really, really it's not. Yeah? And so let's just check ourselves that we won't be chained to the past, but we will let go and be free in moving forward with God, to God, and with God's people. Amen. Amen. God is good. And God has a brilliant future for you. And we just want to walk into it. But we want to prepare ourselves and make sure we're ready. Because quite often when things happen, they happen quite suddenly. As we see in the book of Acts, the Bible says, and suddenly, and suddenly, and suddenly. You know, we will just be here one day and God just does something. Now, we've said this many times, but you will experience it. I know without a shadow of a doubt, but we just need to be ready. We need to prepare ourselves so we can run with the vision and we can take up the mantle and we can move forward together. God has a brilliant vision for this church. You are the church, a brilliant vision for you. And so let's actualize it. Let's think about it and let's step into it. Amen. And so this morning you might say to yourself, well, it's all right for you, Pastor. You don't know how it feels to be let down. You don't know how it feels to be in this way. You don't know how it feels to be a woman. You don't know how it feels to be me. And I say, that is true. But one thing I do know is that God knows. And I can say the same for you. You don't know what it's like to be me. And no matter where you sit, you have challenges. And it might not show on our faces, but we're like a duck at times that looks calm on the outside, but working hard underneath. Amen? Sometimes it's like that. We do have the challenges, but let's press towards the mark of the higher calling of God. And let's not let the challenges keep us back or stop us. Don't let them be excuses. God can bring you through. Is there anything too hard for God? The Bible asks the question, is there anything too hard for God? And the answer to that is no. Yeah, your boss might look scary. He might not take a liking to you. But you know, God can turn it around. Yeah, you've got challenges with your neighbor. But God can turn it around if he doesn't decide to move them out. Because he does it. He can. But it just depends on how you're seeing him. Are you seeing God as able to work it out for you in your life? Not for somebody else. It's always easy to say, yes, God can do it for you and for you. But when we apply it to ourselves, it's much more challenging. Can God do it for me? Am I worthy? Am I consistent? Will God really do it for me? He will. The answer is yes. Amen. I want you to believe that. Hold on to your faith. Run with it. Believe God's word for what it is. Because God wants to take us places. It's not what it looks like. It always looks worse than it is. I'm telling you. We don't know what's around the corner, what God has in store, what God is providing, and how God is bringing change. We don't know. But one thing I do know is that I trust him. Amen. Do you trust him? Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him in moving you forward? Amen. All it is to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word. Hallelujah. Let's trust God. Trust is another name for faith. Amen. You can't have faith in someone unless you trust him. Yeah? Let's start trusting God, leaning on him, looking to him, and acting on his word and his instruction. God said to tell Moses, to tell the people, let's move forward. So let's move forward together. Can I pray with you? Let's bow our heads. Father, this afternoon, Lord, I really, really, really want to thank you for your word, Lord. Simple though it may be, But Lord, it's authentic. Lord, none of your words fall to the ground, Lord. But God, they accomplish what they're sent to do. And I thank you for the word that you've given us in the word to go forward. So Lord, I thank you that you care about me enough, Lord, to document it and to remind me from time to time that God, you ain't done with me yet. You ain't done with us yet. But God, there is a mission and a job and a duty. And Lord, you're preparing us for it. Thank you, God, that you can break every chain that might be in our lives, Lord, because of circumstances that we couldn't even control at times. But God, we thank you for breaking the chain of unforgiveness. We thank you for breaking the chain of stubbornness. We thank you for breaking the chain of bitterness. We thank you for breaking the chain of lack. We thank you for breaking the chain, Lord, of doubt. Father, we thank you for breaking the chain of fear, because fear cripples us, Lord, and prevents us from stepping out and moving forward, Lord. We thank you, Father. Work on us, Lord. Make it a daily project, Lord. Chip away at me, Lord, until I am the being that you want me to be. And so, Lord, I surrender all this morning. And God, we as a church, we surrender all this morning. And we say, Lord, work on us. Lord, fill us anew. Thank you for your mercies, Lord, that are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Minister to us, Lord, we pray this week. And bring us from strength to strength as we walk into our destiny with you. Thank you, God, for being a faithful God. Thank you for being a loving God. Thank you for being a warm God. Father, I love you this morning. And I just bless you. Bless each one of my sisters and my brothers here today. Father, I decree a blessing upon their name, upon their lives, upon their families. Lord, upon their finances, upon their health, upon their homes. Lord, upon their children and grandchildren. Lord, I declare a blessing today. Cover them under your blood, Lord. May they never lack any good thing. But Lord, embrace them at the point of their need today. I pray in Jesus' name. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's move forward together in Jesus' name. Amen.